97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
All right, I have an audio cut of the day still to come before the end of the hour. I think we have Kilmeade on the show tomorrow. You know, we try to hook up with Brian every week, and sometimes it's Wednesday, sometimes it's Thursday. I think he's booked for tomorrow, so we look forward to that. Right now, Chris Elston back with us. He's known as Billboard Chris online. He has gone around the planet to try to, as he says, stop the most, I think the biggest child abuse scandal in the history of the modern world. Chris, how are you? Welcome back to 97.1 FM Talk.
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a busy time. I was just in Europe recently, and I spoke at the United Nations in front of the Human Rights Council, so that was a pretty big deal.
Well, that is the reason that I'm having you on. I know this was a couple of weeks ago. There's been a lot going on in the news, but I did see your video, and I was so I was proud of you that you went before the United Nations, and I watched a little of the clip. So explain what happened there, how that all came about, and what your message was, and how it was received.
Well, I was already heading to Europe for a conference, actually, in Portugal, and there was a case in Switzerland that Elon had helped go viral. I'd tweeted about this family, these parents who lost their daughter to the state of Switzerland. They took her into custody because the parents refused to transition her. So this was even going on in Switzerland. And I thought, well, I'm already going to Portugal. I might as well head over to Switzerland first and raise some awareness about this case, because I have this philosophy that good things happen when you go outside and put yourself out there. And as soon as I announced that I was going there, the Alliance Defending Freedom International, this fabulous legal organization who are actually helping me with my lawsuit against the government of Australia for censorship, they have an advocate at the UN, and they said they could get me to speak before the Human Rights Council. So, perfect. I did that. I had 90 seconds to speak, and it can be a bit difficult to distill this whole thing down, but I think I did an all right job. And I was also meeting with some representatives of different UN member states, including the Vatican. And the funny thing about that is, after my speech, I'd already met with this archbishop who represents the Vatican. And it was an okay meeting. He, of course, agrees that we shouldn't be doing all this stuff to kids. We shouldn't be sterilizing and maiming children and telling them that they were born in the wrong bodies. But after my speech, I had mentioned in a previous tweet, not even the main tweet, but a follow-up tweet, that I was going to be meeting with this guy. His assistant reached out and asked me to take down the tweet because I guess they just don't want the controversy. And I just thought, how absolutely shameful is that when the Catholic Church can't even admit that they had a meeting about stopping this child abuse?
And did you take it down?
I did, only because there will be more meetings coming. I'm going to be going back to the UN in March.
No, I get it. That was a diplomatic decision, right?
Yeah, and I'm going to be having a lot more meetings, and we're going to have bigger events, because the interesting thing about that was I finished my speech, and immediately when I was walking out of the room after, one of the women in the back of the room turned around and mouthed the words, "Thank you," to me.
Ooh.
And then when I was just outside that big circular room that they have, someone from another country, which I won't name, came to offer their support. They didn't know all this stuff was going on. I was down in the UN cafeteria afterwards, and some people came over and they said it's all everyone was talking about at their table. And they were in support as well. Because just like everywhere else in the world, it's a relatively small lobby group that pushes this insanity through everywhere.
Absolutely. And it's the media. And it's the legacy media.
Absolutely. And these leftist governments. But a lot of these people at the UN. So first of all the Middle Eastern countries, the African countries, they all support me. A lot of them knew who I was, these reps.
Nice.
Which was amazing to me, but I guess it makes sense because Elon retweets my stuff once in a while. So everyone sees that. But I said to them when I was meeting with them, they said, "What should we do?" I said, "Well, I would just be bold in telling the truth because, for example, I met with the representative from Kuwait. And these Middle Eastern countries, they're constantly being told by these Western countries that they're awful for their human rights abuses. But here they have this leverage over the West where they can say, for example, you're against female genital mutilation, as you should be, as pretty much everyone is. But here you are in the West doing female genital mutilation on steroids."
That's a good point.
You're
it is a good point.
Kids.
Yeah.
You're cutting off their body parts. And you want to harangue us about our human rights abuses. Look what you're doing. So this gives them a powerful tool, I think, to push back.
I'm guessing, I never want to, you know, I'm going to assume, but I don't want to assume. You've read Tiger Reid's piece from a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yes, I did.
Jamie's husband. That is such an important piece, Chris, I think. So Jamie Reid was the whistleblower from right here in St. Louis at WashU in the gender-affirming care. But by the way, that clinic's been closed, which is good news. So she came out almost 2 years ago, 18 months ago, and, you know, puts this all out there about WashU and expresses deep concern about these kids who have mental illnesses and in many cases are just gay. And then her own partner, who's trans, writes a column a couple weeks ago and is announcing that he or she, I'm a little confused on some of this, Chris, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to them. She's detransitioning, right?
Yes, and the really interesting thing about that also was she went into the medical problems that she's having.
Yes.
So this is a woman. She's been on testosterone for several years. And boy, oh boy, those medical problems start to rack up because testosterone in the doses they're taking it does not belong in a female's body. And she's having all sorts of issues. So quite apart from her support for Jamie Reid and against the ideology itself, she went into details of a really terrible childhood that she had. And
a lot of abuse. Yeah, a lot of abuse.
Tons of abuse and awful things, which is really usually prevalent in these cases. Not always. Some of these kids have fine and normal families and they're getting indoctrinated online. But when you look at the kids who end up showing it up at these gender clinics, a ton of them have had abuse and trauma. And that was the case for her. And what we see in many of these cases is it takes several years, but they eventually realize, yeah, this isn't the solution that I hoped it was going to be.
It really is an incredible piece, and I read much of it on the air a couple of weeks ago. You talked about some of the effects, you know, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, high triglycerides, sleep apnea, issue with kidneys. Now, she admits in the piece that some of those could be hereditary, but they're exacerbated by the testosterone. And, you know, she talks about her breasts and removing her breasts and how devastating that was. So that's a piece. Look, if you have a child who thinks that they're another sex, maybe they're too young to understand what Tiger Reid wrote. But that's something that parents should certainly read before they make any of these stupid decisions, I would say.
Yes, 100%. And not just the parents. A lot of the time, these kids are in state care.
Yeah.
And so because of situations like hers. So all these social workers and counselors and mental health therapists, that whole profession is pushing affirmation only on these children as though it's gender-affirming care. And the point that I made during my UN speech is there's nothing caring about sterilizing children. There's nothing caring about giving them the opposite sex's hormones, which cause all sorts of damage, including with the females, they end up having to get hysterectomies. They're sending teenage girls into menopause. And there's nothing caring about cutting off a struggling child's body parts. So the whole thing is just abuse. And we need to stop using these leftist euphemisms. And all of these state-run organizations and counselors, et cetera, they need to wake up too, because they've all been indoctrinated into pushing this as though it's somehow caring. And it's not, of course.
No, it's
not. These people aren't all purely evil. They're all deceived. So we just need to keep getting the truth out there.
Well, and I will say, we'll close on this. I am embarrassed that in this country, during a presidential race, I'm not going to argue it's the most important issue, but it hasn't even been brought up because they don't want to, you know, because CBS and NBC and the New York Times, they don't want the answers out there. So they won't even ask the questions of Kamala Harris. Pretty sure I know where Trump and J.D. Vance stand on this, by the way, Chris, but the other side has not been asked.
Yes. Trump and Vance have been very clear about this. Vance was one of the only senators, actually, who was clear on this and who, before he was appointed the running mate, he wanted to pass the Protect Childhood Innocence Act, which Marjorie Taylor Greene had written, which would ban all of this and make it a criminal offense and all that. So he's always been good on this issue, so I'm very glad that Trump picked him.
Chris, you know, I think of you as a hero. I love the work you're doing on this. It's very important. You're having an impact. I think you can certainly feel that. We've been talking for a couple of years, and you've been all around the planet. So thank you so much for jumping on here again in St. Louis. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
On the Tiger Reid issue, you know, I only did this one time a couple of weeks ago, and it really is a good piece. All you have to do is Google Tiger Reid, the Free Press. It was in the FP.com, and really kind of amazing, and gives a lot of history about how transition took place originally. A lot of abuse. He had a father who was a heroin addict, didn't even meet his father. Mother was addicted to drugs, went through foster care throughout his childhood or her childhood, and then, you know, thought that she was a lesbian and remembers at about the age of 7 lying in a bed wondering why she didn't have a penis. And, you know, was more of a tomboy, certainly, but then drops out of school, gets a little older, watches this series called Transgeneration, which follows this, you know, group of college students. And Tiger Reid says, well, that show was life-changing for me. It felt that it was, you know, presenting a solution in a way that she hadn't thought about, the pain of being a woman. Really, really bad experiences with periods that were very painful. All this is just devastating. But then goes into why she's making the decision to go in the other, you know, the other direction, and admits that transitioning did not bring any comfort and inner peace. In fact, just made things a lot worse. Admits that Jamie has never pressured her about detransition, but said this, that this is really Chris's point overall. The gender-affirming care model, and I would put that in air quotes, they don't hear, but I would, the so-called gender-affirming care model relies on vulnerable people's impatience, rushing them toward major medical changes rather than stopping to understand the root of their pain and suffering. And we have amongst us here in St. Louis highly esteemed individuals and professional medical people at Washington University and Children's Hospital that thought that this was okay. I mean, this is, in my estimation, I bet in Chris's estimation, some of this is criminal behavior. Criminal behavior, but they won't be charged because they were just trying to help these kids who thought they were confused, right? And she says, look, this affects not just patients, but entire families. And as Jamie Reid has shown, confused and scared parents get told falsely without transition, their kids are likely to commit suicide. That's how they scare these parents. Tiger Reid said, I'm going public because I want people like me who have complex and nuanced reasons for their gender distress to be part of the conversation. It's an important piece. And if you have anyone in your family confused about any of this, you should read it at thefp.com. We're coming back with audio cut of the day.
Get more at 971talk.com.